Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for checking in with our podcast. And I'm very excited to have a special podcast episode for you today. We're going through the Gospel of Mark series, and hopefully you've been listening to those messages. But today I'm here with Lou Brandhorst, who's part of our children's ministry team. And Lou, you do a ton of stuff here, actually. You might be busier at Parkside than I am. Lou, you're involved in children's ministry. You help out with grace groups. There's a lot of stuff you're involved in. Tell us a little bit about all you do at Parkside.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm so glad to be here. So I've been on staff with Parkside. It'll be a year in July, and I work with children's ministry with Lindsay Ackerman. And I'm the person who's getting rooms ready on Sunday, making sure our volunteers have everything they need to have a safe and engaging environment. I also teach our kindergarten through second graders, second hour, and we just have a blast. I love teaching them. I love getting to know the kids better and the families, and I have a great time, and I really enjoy working here at Parkside. And then, like you said, I lead our Grace and Thrive groups, which are mental health support groups, and that's been a wonderful journey, and it's been cool to see the way that God has used my life and my circumstances to lead other people going through something similar.
Wow. Yeah, I saved this for us talking on the podcast. I was talking with a pastor over the weekend, and she was asking me about different counseling resources that we have at Parkside. And, you know, we've worked really hard as a church to have counseling options on our website and make it easy, because it's so hard. It's so hard to talk to a counselor, you know, get in with a counselor, get insurance to pay for it. I mean, it's just hard. So we said we want to make that as simple as possible. So she was talking with me about that, and she went, and there's these great groups that you do. What do you call? And I went, are you talking about grace groups? And she went, yes.
Aww.
She had somebody from her church that was a part of one of our grace groups.
Oh, really?
And she goes, this person just talks so much about how meaningful it's been. And I went, I can't wait to tell Lou that.
Wow.
And so that's honestly the feedback I get all the time from grace groups, is just how amazing it is. Because honestly, I think we just don't talk about the support we need.
Yeah.
Too many of us have our hands white knuckling on the steering wheel, just trying to make it to our next, you know, spiritual community. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's great that you do that. How would you explain your grace group to people that might not be familiar with it?
Yeah, so Grace Group it's really just a support group for people who struggle with, could be anxiety, depression, bipolar, PTSD, trauma. And we get together, and you're led by people like me, and I have a co-leader, Andrea Shaw, who we have gone through some similar things. We've both gone through deep depression, hard anxiety, so we kind of can understand where people are coming from. And we have a wonderful curriculum that combines faith along with scientific research and coping techniques. So if you combine the both, it's a really well-rounded curriculum so much. And it's been really cool just to see the way that relationships have been built in these kind of groups, because I think you find you're isolated a lot of the time. And when you come into something like this, it's scary and it takes a lot of courage, but man, you grow. And there's just been life and truth that have been brought to these groups that we're taking a break right now with my grace group, because we're going to dive deeper just next month. And I mean, they are texting each other and calling each other all throughout the week. And it's been a really cool, beautiful thing to be a part of. But it's really just about support and coming alongside of each other.
I love that. And I love the way that you all talk about it. Because you're very clear, like, hey, this isn't counseling.
No.
This is support.
Yeah.
But so many, you said isolation. So many of us live in isolation, even if we're surrounded by other people.
Yes.
You know, we're in a sea of people, sea of social interactions, but not really relationship. And so I love the way you talk about it, and I love the community that you cultivate. We got a lot of things to talk about in this time, but if somebody goes, What Lou just described in grace groups is something I want to be a part of, how would somebody get a part of that?
Well, you can find us through Parkside's website. They have it on there, on the care groups. But you could email me at loubrandhorst@gmail.com. You could talk to Randy Adams or Randy Shivers, and they can get you in contact. But we meet pretty regularly, so we'll be meeting Thursdays. And you can come at 6:30, and we'll be here, and come join us. It's a great time.
She's at the church.
Yeah,
all
it's
right.
Wonderful.
So parksidechristian.com, and that's honestly, if you go there and you look at the resources we have to offer, we also have links and phone numbers for counseling options too.
Yeah.
So I love that's such your heart, mm-hmm. but I love that you see the direct connection in children's ministry too. Yeah. How do you feel like your skill set and your background translates to children's ministry? What are you up to these days in children's ministry?
Yeah. I love kids. I really love building those relationships. And I'm somebody who really just wants to get to know these families. And I can do that through being with them on Sundays and through teaching them. And I have a heart for the Bible. I have a heart for Jesus. And that translates into Grace Group, but it also translates into Sunday mornings with the kids. It might be a different setting, but you're still telling God's stories. And I just love that. And I have a heart for that. And God has used the Bible and he's used these stories to change my life. And I want to do that for these kids. So it's a great time. And we have a really good team. And we're always looking for more volunteers and more helpers. So, we'd love for people to join us in that.
Yeah. I have to share in this moment that like, we all have like, daydreams, about things like, you know, well, when I'm done with this, I'll do this, or man, could I work this out? I have a daydream where I volunteer in children's ministry.
Do it.
Because you guys have the most fun. I love being able to help out with Mega Camp in the summer, mm-hmm. but like the big conflict I have is that I speak most of the time. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I get to sneak down there and have fun all the time. But I definitely go, you know, if I wasn't the teaching pastor at Parkside, I could serve in children's ministry.
We'll take you.
And that's pretty tempting. So, you know, I don't know. With a little bit of work, you guys could probably get me downstairs and maybe the teaching would actually improve on Sunday morning.
We would love it.
Yeah, you guys have so much fun. And I'm so thankful getting to hear the stories from our kids that we have in the ministry. But, you guys do a great job with your team.
Oh, thank you.
But I'm... You already do a lot, and I'm asking you to do one more thing today. I asked Lou a few weeks ago. I said, "Hey, if I give you time, would you be willing to come on the podcast and just share one of your favorite stories from the Gospel of Mark?" And she was like, "That sounds like fun." Mm-hmm. So we're here, and I'm excited to hear what story you'd like to talk about, Lou. What do you want to talk about from the Gospel of Mark?
Yeah, so I would love to talk about Mark 5, which is the demon-possessed man. So I feel like it's not a story that's talked about very often on Sundays. I think people maybe shy away from it because we have a hard time talking about demons, maybe understanding that spiritual realm. But surprisingly, God used this story back in October. I was going through Mark on my own time, and I was really just feeling a little bit insecure, a lack of self-confidence, and really doubting my own story that God has written for me and the things that I had gone through. This was right as I was starting to lead our Grace Group, and just like was really scared to just get up there and tell people what God had done. And he strangely used this story about this demon-possessed man, and it changed my perspective on the call that he has given me here at Parkside, and just to be confident in sharing my story and knowing that he's going to use it.
Yeah. And it, I mean, you're right. It is a crazy story.
Yeah.
I think this is the kind of thing where you read it and you go, that's interesting. And if you were to watch it in a movie, I mean, it'd probably be R-rated movie.
Yeah, be a scary movie.
It would be. I wouldn't let my kids watch this movie.
Yeah.
Let's talk through the story. For those of you who aren't familiar with this story, Jesus is going across the lake, the sea, and he gets to the beach, and he's greeted by this demon possessed man, who's on the outskirts of town, right? Mm-hmm. They haven't been able to bind him, they haven't been able to control him, so they've put him out like amongst the tombs. And he has this conversation with Jesus, or maybe the better way to put it would be the demons have a conversation with Jesus. And as you go through Mark, that's like this super big thing that Jesus is always telling people, don't talk about me, mm-hmm. or he's healing people that are demon possessed because the demon is about to tell everybody that he's Jesus. What sticks out to you in this interaction between Jesus and this man?
Yeah, so I think, like you said, to set up Mark 5, you have to know that at the end of Mark 4, Jesus and his disciples are crossing over the Sea of Galilee, and they encounter this crazy storm. And Jesus' friends are terrified. They're fearing for their life, and they're screaming at him, like, save us. And Jesus is asleep, because that's what he does. He's cool like that. He wakes up, and he calms the wind and the waves. And they got to experience his power in a way that maybe they hadn't at this point. And their theme at the end of Mark 4 is that Jesus is in control. And that theme follows into Mark 5.
Yeah.
He's also in control and what's going on with this man. And so, you know, go through that storm. They, like you said, they get off on shore and they're immediately met by this man. And what I think is super interesting is that this man, you later come to find out, he's possessed by not just one demon, but they call themselves Legion, because we are many. And that's in verse 9. And a legion in military terms can consist up to 6,000 soldiers strong. So the Bible doesn't tell you if it's 2 or is it 6,000. But either way, that's pretty terrifying. And there's no rest. I'm sure they went through this storm and they want to take a break, and there's no break for them.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting, too, that we know that he's possessed. And I would think, in my mind, I'm thinking, well, these demons, they wouldn't want to be cast out. So wouldn't they run the other way? Wouldn't they go hide in the tombs? Wouldn't they keep this man from going to Jesus? And that's not the case, because it says in verse 6 that when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down before him, and he cried out in a loud voice. And then he goes on to tell Jesus, you are the Son of the Most High God. So I think for me, it shows that these demons that were inside this man, they knew who Jesus was. They knew his power. And maybe they thought, if I come before him, maybe he'll be easier on me. I'm not sure. But they don't just stand before him, but they kneel before him. And they know that he is the authority right now, and they have no authority because he's here. He's on the scene.
Yeah, I love that you connected it with Mark chapter 4, because sometimes when we have our devotions, or when we listen to scripture in the car, we listen to a chapter at a time and we don't get the full story.
Mm-hmm.
But chapter 4 is definitely God is in control of all things outside of a person.
Yeah.
You know, by controlling the storm, he's controlling that chaos. And then here in chapter 5, he's controlling the chaos within.
Yeah.
And so, God, Jesus is in control. He's mm-hmm. got dominion over creation for sure. How does that encourage you that nothing is outside of, like, God's power?
Yeah, I mean, in my own life, I have gone through some really dark and difficult seasons. And, you know, when you go through difficult things, you often question, you know, are you here, God? Are you in control? Do you see what's going on? Don't you see I'm in pain? And, I mean, this man, I mean, he's being tormented. He's howling. He's cutting himself. He's isolated. I think we all can kind of feel isolated at times. Now, we have never been possessed by a demon, but we can understand what it feels like to be hurting the way that this man had. And I know I have been there. And it's so comforting to know that Jesus wasn't taken aback by this man and what was going on with him. He just meets this man and he's like, with one word, I can change things for you. And it's the same with us too, is that in my own life, I don't always understand. But the thing is, God has such a long-term perspective. He sees things from eternity. So he sees the whole game. He sees the whole picture. And I can't. I see things from my very limited perspective scope. And I take comfort knowing that he knew everything that was happening with this man. And he knows everything that's going to happen with me. And he also knows how he's going to use it. And for me, that's just a beautiful picture. And I take a lot of comfort in knowing that he's got my back. I don't always understand it. I will probably continue to go through some difficult things, but it's not without purpose.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always interesting when you read a Bible story, where you place yourself within the story.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to make ourselves the main character, mm-hmm. you know, right? But I think it's interesting in this story to either put yourselves in the disciples' shoes, or maybe closer to this man's situation, to put yourself in the townspeople's perspective. Because they've kicked this guy out of town.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that we have to recognize with pain, when you see someone's behavior outside change. You know there's something going on inside. Yeah. My dad would always tell me, assume people are hurting. And, you know, here's all this behavior on the outside. And I'm sure this is something you guys hit on in your grace groups all the time. You know, if you've got a behavior in your life, there's probably something that's underlying that.
Definitely.
And so now you take that story and you connect it up with your behavior and you kind of go, yeah, okay, if I encountered the, you know, the demon-possessed guy, I don't think I'd have nice things to say to him.
Exactly.
I think I'd say, get away from me, man. I think I'd kick him to the outskirts of town. I don't think I'd respond the way that Jesus does, or even with compassion. Man, there's a lot that could be said about us responding to people's pain with more compassion, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. What else jumps out to you in this story?
Well, I mean, I think there's another interesting point is when you go down to verse 11. So before that, Jesus encounters the demons. He asks them to come out. He says, come out of this man, you unclean spirit. And he finds out that their name is Legion because there are many. And then they ask, surprisingly, to be sent into the pigs. And you're not really sure why, but Jesus gives them permission. And I read this and was kind of like, why wouldn't he just send them away? Like, why wouldn't he just send them from where they came back to the evil they were once, you know, whether that's hell, go there. But he doesn't. He allows them to go in these pigs. And ultimately, the pigs are destroyed over a cliff. And as I was reading it, I kind of thought, well, that would have been this man's outcome. If Jesus hadn't come on the scene, if this man had not encountered Jesus, he would have been destroyed. I mean, that's what these demons came to do. They didn't come just to, like, you know, be nice and give him life. No, they came to destroy him, and they were doing it slowly. I mean, he's isolated already. He's hurting himself.
He's wasting away, yeah.
Exactly. And ultimately, he would have been destroyed. Now, we don't know for sure why he allowed the pigs. I know that Jesus doesn't do anything without a reason and a purpose. And maybe my thought is, again, I don't know for sure, because the Bible doesn't tell us clearly, but maybe the townspeople's hearts were more concerned with the pigs because that was their money. That was the way that they lived than this man's salvation and with his pain. And God uses things as a teaching moment. And so Jesus could have used that as a teaching moment too. But I think it's really important to see that Jesus comes and he saves this man in that moment.
Yeah.
With one word, get out of this man, and they leave. And he's saved and he's changed forevermore because of it.
Yeah. And I'm just okay too with not having an answer for everything in a story.
For sure.
You know, I think people expect us as pastors to have all the answers. And you read a story like this and you go, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I know the guy's healed. But that's weird. And I don't get it. And it's a good question, but I do feel like we know the main stuff about the story
for
that
sure.
We need to. But I think it's also just okay to kind of go, I don't know. Because then it's easy too, to just put a bunch of spiritual stuff where maybe spiritual stuff isn't that, you know, where it's like, okay, maybe, you know, maybe not. And, I think it's super interesting too, what this guy wants to do afterwards.
Yeah.
And like, I think it's one of the most interesting moments in Mark because what Jesus normally says is not what he says here.
Yeah.
Did that stand out to you too?
Yeah. So when I read this, verses 18 through 20 were what stopped me in my tracks and what God used to, he spoke to me in that moment. And it's this guy, and you know, he's saved, and rightly so, he says, hey, can I just stay with you, Jesus? Like, he knows Jesus has power. Jesus just saved him. He knows that he's probably the real deal. And I think it's only natural to want to stay close to that. And surprisingly, again, Jesus says the opposite of what you would think. He says no. And at first I was kind of like, well, why would he say no? Like, why wouldn't he just let this man stay with him and learn from him and grow with him? And instead he says, no, go home to your own people and report to them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So really what Jesus is saying here is, hey, you went through this crazy experience. You went through some really dark times. You were tormented. Let's go use that and go tell everybody what I've done for you. Go change hearts. Go change lives. And really what he's saying is, hey, go be a missionary. Go do that. And you can. And he does. He goes back home and it says that they were all amazed.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I love where amazed shows up. Amazed is like a firework all throughout the Gospel of Mark, how amazed people were for so many reasons. But and I love it too, that God sent him to his neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Goes back home.
Yeah, we want to go far. We want to go big. Mm-hmm. Like all of us, you know, man, Americans, we want to be a part of a better story. We want our life to be a movie. And it's like, well, go to your neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But I think something that jumps out to me along those same lines, it starts off by telling us the region mm-hmm. that they're in as they go across the Sea of Galilee. But then when it finishes, it says, so the man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And the Decapolis is a much larger region.
Yeah.
And so that's a moment where I feel like Mark, as he writes his gospel, knows more of the story.
For sure.
And he's going, you know, like they come back to this area in Mark chapter 7,
mm-hmm.
and Jesus heals somebody else. They go, hey, will you heal this person mm-hmm. too? But I love the thought that the disciples and Jesus go away, and this becomes the thing that this man tells everybody about.
Becomes his purpose,
yeah.
His mission and his call in his life. And, you know, like when I got to that part in 18 through 20, I was kind of like that man. I kind of wanted to stay with Jesus, you know, let me just learn from you, Jesus, like just keep imparting your wisdom, but I'll just keep it internally. I'll just stay close to you. And I won't share that with people. And, God definitely was like, no, in that moment, that he tells the man, no, I heard God tell me no too. Like I didn't have you go through these things. I didn't allow you to learn, and I didn't set you free just so you could keep it to yourself. You need to go and you need to share it because you hold the key to other people. And, you know, I never thought really at that point of like, you know, he asked this man to be a missionary, like you said, back home. And I always, you know, growing up, you think of missionaries in Africa, you think of them in China or different parts of the world and not necessarily in your own place, like you said. And then that changed my perspective of I can be a missionary here. I can be a missionary at Parkside. I can be a missionary in the workplace, in my friend group. And I think we all can. I mean, God has given us each a story to tell. And I think sometimes we are like, well, I don't have the qualifications. I didn't go to school to be a missionary. I don't know how to do that. And our qualification is Jesus. It's the encounter we had with him, just like this man. That encounter with Jesus saved everything. Not only did it save this man's life, but it saved his heart and it gave him salvation and it changed him. And that's the same for us. You meet Jesus and you're changed and you don't need any more qualification than that. God's already given it to you by what he's done and he's just asking you to go share it. And that's what I heard him say to me. And I was like, whoa, it's kind of a gut check in that moment of, oh man, like you're asking me to go tell people these things that I've never really openly in a leadership setting told people before, but I walked away with confidence because he has a purpose, just like he had a purpose for this man.
Yeah, and I think you've experienced this, whether it's in children's ministry or grace groups. We think that when we tell someone that we've experienced great pain or that we have great doubts, that it'll be like the gig is up, you know, like, oh, we figured you out. You are a failure.
You're fake.
But what actually happens is people go, me too.
Yeah, they need that.
And then it is, it's this opportunity to go, and if it wasn't for Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's transforming. That's transformative for sure. Yeah, yeah. I think you do an excellent job of that too, Lou. That as you discover more and more who God's made you and you step into that boldly, I hope it's encouraging for you that you see it resonate with people and people being amazed at all that God's done in your life.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that really jumps out to you in this passage before we kind of wrap things up?
Yeah, I think the last point is, again, through the whole thing, I mean, end of Mark 4, they go through that storm. It's terrifying. They're fearing for their lives. They're immediately met by this man who's got possibly a legion of demons. They battle those demons out. The villagers ask them to leave. And they go through all that just to save one man. It's not recorded that anyone else in this encounter is changed but this man. And I think it shows the heart of Jesus in this moment. I think it shows that he has such a heart for the lost and broken that he would have done all of that all over again. He would go through the storm. He would go through meeting demons or people telling him to leave just to save one man. And how encouraging that is for me, that it's taken some time, but I think I can now say that if I can help one person because of what I've gone through, then it's worth it. If I can impact one life, it's worth it. And the thing is, that's just Jesus. That's who he is. He would do that for any of us. He would go through the fires for us. He does go, he died for us. And what a beautiful picture that is of who he is. It just clearly to me shows his heart. And I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah, I think when we love the person that God puts in front of us, when we serve the person with the love of Jesus that God puts in front of us, it can change the world. We don't have to have a international mindset. We just have to be present in the moment, because anybody that's changed with God's love can impact anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of reveals our perspective of God's power. Mm-hmm. If we believe that or not, you know, if we think we have to go all over the place and we have to rescue everybody, save everybody, and we go, I don't know if I'm good enough to do that. It's kind of like, well, do you believe God can do what he says he can do?
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, for me, yeah, you know, I'm a pastor and I love being a pastor, but I think God's called me to my neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And if I believe God can reach anyone through anyone, anywhere, anyhow, then he just needs me to love my neighbor.
Yeah.
And he's going to reach who he wants to reach for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So it also cracks me up that we don't get this guy's name.
No.
And I don't know, like if I was that guy, I don't know if I want my gospel or my name in the Gospel of Mark.
No.
Either. Like, you know, hey Mark, can you maybe change that? Can you just call me the demoniac, or
yeah,
like, can you call me Legion?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put Doug in there.
Yeah.
I don't want, I'd rather, you know, like, let me tell people my testimony. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's definitely moments where you kind of go, why don't we have that guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's another question that we'll have to ask at some other point. But it's been so good talking about the Gospel of Mark with you, talking about Mark chapter 5. One other thing I'll throw out here too, kind of lines up with all that we've said. It occurs to me that the first half of the Gospel of Mark, Jesus spends almost all of his time on the lake.
Mm-hmm.
He's always around the lake. He's, you know, right here. He's coming across the lake and he goes across the lake to the other side. If we thought that Jesus's purpose was to talk to as many people as possible on the biggest platforms as possible, that he had to go big, he actually belonged further south, like mm-hmm. he belonged in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But the biggest point that Mark tells us that he goes to Jerusalem is when he goes to die on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus did come for a purpose and he came to die for us. But in the meantime, he was totally fine without being on the lake.
Yeah.
And dealing with people that were in pain there. Mm-hmm. That was kind of out of the way a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just interesting to me too that you go, yeah, Jesus told this man to stay there and just continue to invest there and tell a story there. And you go, well, why couldn't it be a part of something more? And it's like, well, that was exactly where Jesus was too.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Jesus can accomplish his mission wherever he wants. So
he's always surprising, and God wants to use us, and we get to part of that. And that's what they did with the man. Go yeah. off, go tell other people. That's how it spreads.
Yeah. And people were amazed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jesus meets us where we are, and he can use anybody to reach us wherever we are.
Yeah.
So, well, Lou, this conversation's been great. Thank you so much for what you do in children's ministry. My kids, my family are appreciative of that. And thank you so much for what you do with Grace Groups. I'm excited about having you on for the next podcast episode. We need you to pick another
Let's
story in the Gospel of Mark. We should talk about that. But yeah, if you're listening, thanks for tuning in. Be sure to listen to our messages and take that next step, whether that's getting on our website and looking at our other resources, whether that's you know, subscribing to our social media so you can stay in the loop. Yeah, when Jesus calls us to follow him, he puts us in community. Mm-hmm. So don't go through this spiritual life alone. Hope you have a good day and a great week. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Have a great day.